Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you, as usual. And if you're interested in the Iowa Senate race, today's your day on the Three Martini Lunch. And we start with the good martini. Democratic Congressman Bruce Braley pretty much has the field to himself on the Democratic side in the race to succeed longtime Democratic Senator Tom Harkin. There's a much more competitive Republican primary that we'll get to a little bit later in the podcast. But Braley was talking about the need to keep the Senate in Democratic hands and that he would be a fantastic addition not only to the Senate but the Senate Judiciary Committee. And then he gave his audience a dire warning about what could happen if he wasn't elected to the U.S. Senate.
To put this in stark contrast, if you help me win this race, you may have someone with your background, your experience, your voice, someone who's been literally fighting tort reform for 30 years in a visible and public way on the Senate Judiciary Committee, or you might have a farmer from Iowa who never went to law school, never practiced law, serving as the next chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Because if Democrats lose the majority, Chuck Grassley will be the next chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
So, Jim, I'm not sure what's even better for Republicans here. The fact that he says farmers don't belong in the Senate Judiciary Committee, or the fact that, hey, if you elect Republicans, another guy from Iowa who's really popular is going to have a lot of power.
You know, it's just layers upon layers. Already it's been declared the gaffe of the year. I point out that it's kind of early in the year for that declaration. But first of all, I'm Bruce Braley, and I'm a giant jerk, and I just approved this message. Or I guess you'd say the National Republican Senatorial Committee will be approving that message. So you're looking at this, you're marveling that he's saying it. I kind of, you know, this is very much, people have said, kind of the equivalent of that 47% gaffe from Mitt Romney. It was said to a group of donors behind closed doors. This is clearly what he thinks that he wouldn't say in public. As a Democrat, it's you kind of figure he's not a fan of tort reform. But here he is basically saying ipso facto. It's something he will fight, you know, every step of the way. Go ahead and run on that, Bruce Braley. But then the last thing is that it's not even that he's saying to a bunch of trial lawyers in Iowa that I will be a slave to your agenda. Greg, it's the trial lawyers in Texas. You know, I mean, already he's apologized for saying something nasty about Chuck Grassley, and that's not the Iowa way. Look, we know who this guy is. We know what his agenda is. We know what his entire mentality is. And I think now you've got something that can be thrown up against him, and you'll be seeing a lot of between now and Election Day. And, you know, it's not just that he's anti-tort reform. It's not just he said something snotty about Chuck Grassley. It's not just that he's an elitist who seems to think that farmers don't belong in the Judiciary Committee. It's not just that somehow Iowa Democrats managed to find a guy who sneers at Iowa, at farmers, to run in the state. It's that he now has credibility problems when he comes out and says, oh, no, no, I've always respected farmers, and some of my best friends are farmers. All that, so, you know, whatever he's saying, you know, in his campaign, you know, speeches and on the stump might be completely different from what he's saying behind closed doors. You know, now we've seen the real Bruce Braley. A race that was looking like kind of an uphill climb is looking a little bit easier for Republicans. I guess it all depends on they nominate. And that's what you call foreshadowing our third martini.
Yes, as we look forward to the third martini, another candidate who's running for that Senate seat, not ashamed of farmers. Okay, but we'll get to that in a minute. On to the second martini now. And there were a couple of good nominees for this one. But the one we're going with today is one that we obviously saw coming, because why not? Every other deadline related to Obamacare has been fudged or pushed back or just ignored. And so enrollment by the end of March, why would that be any different? The administration insists, just as Kathleen Sebelius told Congress just a number of days ago, that the deadline is not actually being extended. However, if you begin the enrollment process before the end of the month, you will have a grace period, at least at this point, of a couple of weeks to complete the process. And, Jim, I'm sure that deadline will be held fast and firm.
As you said, this is kind of a not surprising one. And, you know, some people might argue this isn't that bad a martini and that at least people get some extra time. I got to say, look, you know, you've had 6 months. What this really kind of indicates is that all of the deadlines, you know, the law is written in sand. I mean, it was Ted Cruz who says we are a nation of laws, which means every morning we have to get up and ask Barack Obama what the laws are, since he, you know, rewrites them whenever he feels like it. Kind of a frustrating development, because, you know, you can make an observation, this is unworkable as written. And these constant kicking of the can and changing the deadlines is an admission that it is unworkable as written. But instead of starting over again, instead of repealing it, instead of saying, okay, the individual mandate was a bad idea, the administration just tries to, you know, change it a little bit here, change it a little bit there, and hope that nobody notices. I mean, how'd you like to be an insurance company when you say, all right, under the law, open enrollment ends March 1st, and then they say, nah, not really, you know. On your honor, if you tried before and couldn't, you're allowed to take until mid-April or, you know, whatever. Peter Sudeman just put it very well when he said the verification process for this is that there is no verification process.
No surprise whatsoever. And I love how the estimate keeps going down. Now they're saying they've got 5 million, which is, you know, kind of a fudged number, out of 6 million. They used to need 7 million, but now that we're getting closer and they're nowhere near 7 million, it's 6 million. So
it's limbo. They keep lowering the bar. and the fun question out of that 5 million or whatever million they finish with at, you know, the end of March. Oh, I'm sorry, mid-April, whatever, you know, whatever they say, okay, open enrollment is done. It'll be interesting to see how many of them actually paid. And, you know, Sebelius says she has no idea. They have no way to collect that information. I was hearing somebody reporting that Republicans in Congress think they have, like, incontrovertible proof that Sebelius does know how many people have paid and just doesn't want to tell it to Congress, which is another no-no from administration that, you know, is racking them up pretty darn fast.
Yeah, not only is it not telling the truth, but I'm guessing that probably means it's not anywhere close to 5 million, but we'll see.
There's that, yeah, which is bad. But I'm going to say, it's not just that it's a lie, Greg, it's a stupid lie. You know, it would be like if I'd said, you know, I'm not really keeping track of the Jets free agency signings, and I have no real opinion on the Vic signing. You wouldn't believe me. You say, oh, come on, come on. If I'd said, oh, I'm not paying attention to something else, it'd be plausible. But this is a particularly implausible lie, which suggests that either Sebelius is stupid, or she thinks we're stupid.
The entire feasibility of the law hangs on the number of enrollments and what people enroll, but we're not paying any attention to who's actually signing up. All right, back to the Iowa Senate race now. And as we mentioned, it's a pretty crowded Republican field here. Tom Harkin's held the seat for a long time. He was largely unbeatable. And so for a lot of people, this is a good chance to make a run for the U.S. Senate. And so folks are trying to stand out in a primary field. One of those is Joni Ernst. And as Mediaite and others have put it in the last couple of days, there's no more memorable first line of a campaign ad than this. But here's the whole ad from Joni Ernst.
I'm Joni Ernst. I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm. So when I get to Washington, I'll know how to cut pork.
Joni Ernst, mother, soldier, conservative.
My parents taught us to live within our means. It's time to force Washington to do the same. To cut wasteful spending, repeal Obamacare, and balance the budget. I'm Joni Ernst, and I approve this message because Washington's full of big spenders. Let's make them squeal.
Now, there's someone who knows that a lot of farmers live in Iowa, Jim.
I think you just could stop it right there after that first sentence. I think that's, you know, I also look a little disappointed that when they're going through her, you know, really quickly her biography, you know, mother, soldier, you know, activist. They don't have hog castrator. Really, to me, that needs to be underlined right there and kind of emphasize that. Just to summarize this race in a sentence, Greg, I'm not really endorsing here, but I'm just going to say that in Iowa, I am perfectly fine with running the hog castrator against the Democratic congressman who hates farmers. I'm sure she's a fine woman, and she certainly has a good campaign that knows how to grab your attention. Just the listeners, the viewers are even worse. I mean, just the, oh, my goodness, things are flying everywhere. No, it's just the glee with which she declares that is quite striking. And I think just from now on, she'll just be known as, you know, you've heard of the horse whisperer. This is the hog castrator.
Well, I guess we know what her marquee issue is. I mean, there's no confusion about that.
Yeah, you know, so if I were her, if she had the opportunity to legally change her name to Hog Castrator, I would go with that. I don't think she'll need to do that. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, there are four or five Republican candidates running in Iowa. Everyone will now remember one thing about one candidate. And you'll say, all right, you know what? She's tough. You know, those hogs don't like that. And they managed to get it done anyway. So, you know, and the other guy hates farmers, which is a nice, there's a nice contrast to the news business.
Exactly right. Well, name recognition problem solved. All right, Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.